KSHOU-TV in Houston. He's also a professor at the University of St. Thomas Center for International Studies. And on April 19th, he did an interview with Slobodan Milosevic in Belgrade. It runs about 50 minutes. We're going to air that next and then follow that with more live coverage from the NATO 50th anniversary. Up next, the Ron Hatchett interview with President Milosevic.
President Milosevic, I want to thank you for agreeing to meet with me today in a time when there's great difficulties between our two countries. I think that our conversation today will help the American people understand a little bit better what is happening here in Serbia and what the Serbian point of view in this conflict is. First of all, as you know, in the American press, you're not pictured very well. President Clinton says that you are the butcher of the Balkans. He says that you're another Hitler, that you're a madman, that you're the cause of all the problems that we've had here in the Balkans for the last 10 years. Who are you really? Who are you as a person?
Well, good question. It gives me the opportunity to explain to American audience what the problem is. The problem is following. Your government is running two wars against Yugoslavia, against our people. One is military war, and the other war is media war, or if you like it better, propaganda war. Propaganda war started long before military war, and its goal was to satanize this country, our people, leadership of this country, individuals, and whatever was needed to create artificially, of course, public opinion in United States, which will be supportive to aggression they committed later. And that media war is showing clearly that their intention to commit aggression were having a long preparation before. So we are victims of both of those wars. In first case, in military war, victims are, just for now, our civilians and our country everywhere. But in media war, victims are not only us. Victim is, as well, American democracy. If you are lying to your citizens, and if you are continually trying to create artificial public opinion based on false informations, on wrong informations, you cannot call it democratic. You cannot tell to the world that you are doing something fair and fine. So I believe that this kind of contacts, and more than that, the presence of a lot of journalists from abroad in this country will help to the world to know the truth about our country.
I think that's true. I think the American people would like to know a little bit more, though, about you as a person. I mean, have you always been a politician? Have you always been in politics?
Oh, no, I was not a politician. I was professionally working in industry for a long time. And then I was banker. And I was banker for 8 years. I was president of largest Yugoslav bank, Beogradska bank. At that time, we were dealing with a lot of American banks, and I have a lot of friends in the United States from that time. We were very successful, and we have opened a lot of very good projects, joint ventures and others. And aside of that industrial cooperation, we organized together Anglo-Yugoslav Bank in London with manufacturer Hanover, whose chairman was at that time John McGillicuddy, and Lloyd International, British bank, whose president was Tony Tuke. We signed that in my office here in Belgrade in 79. And that was a successful bank, working still, even under so bad conditions we had for the last 10 years. And at that time, we have opened the branch in New York, 635 Madison Avenue, just the opposite of General Motors building, working 20 years. But last several years, of course, that was frozen. And that was a pity for development of our relations, no doubt.
How do you see the future of the Yugoslav economy in terms of it being integrated into the world trading community and into the free enterprise system of the world?
Well, our orientation towards market economy was clear even in former Yugoslavia. And we want to be open and to cooperate to all countries. We were in sanctions, practically pressed not to have access to all our traditional partners and to our new partners, which could be created. But we are a very vital economy. In the middle of sanctions, in 93, when new sanctions were imposed, totally blocking our country, we created our own plan and stopped inflation and start growing up. 6%, 7%, 5%, 8%, but in 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, gradually every year was better than previous year. And if we were not under sanctions, we could have even much better results. When I was in Dayton, and when we were talking about future in peace, then Christopher and Holbrooke said to me, well, when we finish that, you will get help. And so I said to them, I don't believe in help. I believe in commercial interests of partners. So let us be free to have free trade and to deal with everybody we would like to deal. And that will be enough for us, and we are able to develop our country. We have a big potential, and we can have very successful development.
The immediate cause of the problems between our two countries, according to President Clinton, is the failure of Yugoslavia to agree to the terms of the negotiations in France, first at Rambouillet and then later at Paris. Why was it that Yugoslavia did not sign that agreement?
You use the word negotiated. There were no negotiations at all. And your audience have to know that. In all those three long weeks, two in Rambouillet and one in Paris, there was no one single meeting between delegations to talk to each other, Albanians and Serbs and others in state delegations couldn't exchange one single word. So there were not any negotiations. And look to delegations. On one side, you had delegation of Serbia composed of everybody who was living in Kosovo and who lives in Kosovo, representatives of all national communities, Serbs, Albanians, three Albanian parties were represented in Serbian delegation. They are citizens of this country, of course, and that's so normal. Serbs, Albanians, Turks, Muslims, Gypsy, Egyptians, Goranci, all seven of different national communities were represented in the delegation. On the other side, that was delegation of separation movement, not Albanian delegation. Albanians are in a delegation of Serbia as well. Delegation of separation movement, purely Albanian. And that's something which can explain the major differences in our approach. Our approach from the very beginning of talks was that Kosovo problem can be solved on the basis of principle of equality of all citizens living in the region and of equality of all national communities living in the region. So our approach is multi-ethnic, multicultural, multi-religious, insisting upon equality of national communities, regardless to their number. On the other side, there is an approach of your State Department in alliance with those guys from separation movement, which is favorizing Albanians, which is giving to them the right to be the masters of the rest of population. And you must know what the structure of population is. In Kosovo, there are Serbs and Montenegrins, 250,000 of them, who are living there, and their grandfathers and grandfathers of their grandfathers lived there before one single Albanian came from the mountain. That is ancient Serbian territory, with thousands of Serbian monasteries and monuments and so on. But leave it aside. So 250,000 of Serbs, 200,000 of Muslims, 150,000 of Gypsy and Egyptians, about 50,000 of Turks, even Turks who are smallest national community in Kosovo. They have their schools, they have their radio and TV program, they have their editing house, Tan, meaning day in Turkish language. So what's the problem if there are only 50,000, comparing with, let us say, 800,000 to 900,000 Albanians? In terms of quality, they must have the same rights as national community, and they must participate in the institutions of Kosovo in an equal footing on the basis of that. And that was a crucial difference between those two approaches. Practically what was tried to be imposed in Rambouillet was not autonomy at all. That was independence. And I really don't believe, if you show it to any honest American, that there is one single honest American who will tell you that if they were on the place of our delegation, could sign that. We are talking on autonomy, we are talking on equality, on equal approach to interest of all national community, not on independence of Albanian separation movement, which had by that agreement, so-called agreement, practically the right to organize a new state within Serbia. They have their state, that is Albania, that is their national state. In Serbia, they are national minority. They are living everywhere in Serbia. And I want to add to you something very important. In Serbia, there are 26 different national minorities. There was never any problem with any of national minorities in Serbia, including Albanians, but problems were only with separation movement of Albanians in Kosovo. And we were making a big difference between separation movement in Kosovo and Albanian people, which is honest and good, patriarchal little bit, what is not disadvantage, and which was the equal people in Yugoslavia. Even that separation movement was not using the arms before you came, before your representative came to tell them, to supply them, and to make the alliance with those killers, rapers, kidnappers, and drug dealers who are collected from the underground around Europe to be organized as so-called Kosovo Liberation Army, which never existed. That was a kind of Hollywood, you know, just to explain that they are having some kind of military forces and so on. They were never able even to attack any police or military unit. They were able only to kill somebody from the ambush. And they were clear terrorists. What else they could do? They were killing people from the ambush. They were putting bombs under cars or in front of markets. They are taking hostages, civilians, workers from the open mine near Pristina, for example. We never saw those hostages. We're afraid that all of them were killed. We don't know their destiny, where they were at the end. So there was no one single act of them which couldn't be clearly defined as terrorist act. And I was really surprised that NATO downgraded its dignity, making alliance with those killers and drug dealers. And I think that that kind of alliance cannot have the future.
The American people, though, every day see on their television all of these heart-wrenching scenes of the Albanian refugees. The United Nations says now that there are over 532,000 that have left Kosovo. And they appear to be in very traumatized type conditions. Isn't it your policy? Is it your policy to expel all Albanians from Kosovo?
There was never policy of this country and my policy to expel any citizen of Yugoslavia from any part of this country. I must tell you, when there was a war in Croatia, we protected all Croats in Serbia. We protected when there was a war in Bosnia, we protected all Muslims in Serbia. We preserved only multi-ethnic state within former Yugoslavia. That is Yugoslavia, Federal Republic of Yugoslavia today, with 26 different national communities. And many visitors, including high-level visitors visiting our country, were always saying that we are example, good example of positive treatment, of good treatment of national minorities. And we always had in mind that test for any democracy is treatment of minority, not treatment of majority. And that's the practice, that's the policy in Yugoslavia. And to answer your question about Albanian refugees, you are right, there are a lot of refugees, but they are a result of bombing. And they are not only Albanians. Everybody is running away because of bombing. Serbs, Turks, Gypsy, Muslims. Of course, Albanians, their number is biggest. Everybody is running. Deers are running. Birds are running. Everybody is running away because of bombing. Bees are running. Everybody is running away, and who can really ask to understand that civilian population cannot play the role of heroes, staying on their play in their places when bombs are getting down? That is not possible. And you know that before 24th of March, when they started their damn bombing and they started their dirty aggression against this country, there was no one single refugee. When they started bombing, refugees appears, of course, as a result of bombing, and everybody knows it. Connected with that bombing, you know, you are not throwing only bombs from your aircrafts. You are throwing small piece of paper with the messages of NATO, explaining that to our people. Do you know what we did with those small leaves with messages of NATO? They expected we will collect that and hide it from our citizens, not to see that. That was in our language, of course. We presented that on TV from both sides, all those leaves. We presented that on TV without any further explanation, because of the fact that 11 million of citizens of this country, they know very well what's the truth. We are not afraid to broadcast propaganda of NATO thrown through those humiliating leaves, for them humiliating from their aircrafts. But problem is, in United States, you don't have protection. Our protection is the truth and the fact that people knows what the situation is. In United States, average American cannot know what really is here. He must believe to propaganda. He must believe to those piles of lies which are broadcast every day.
Well, you know, that's one of the things about the media. We had a comedian in America in the 1920s, 1930s named Will Rogers that said, "All I know is what I read in the newspapers." Well, to modernize that, all the American people know is what they see on television and the images that they see on television. So how do you explain the fact that many of these refugees from Kosovo are talking about, we were driven out of our homes by the Serb, the Serbs come and knock on our door, tell us that we have to leave within 10 minutes, and they take all of our possessions and we have to leave. How do you explain that when the American, or actually the NATO briefer, Jamie Shea, shows pictures on television that says, here are satellite pictures of what we believe to be mass graves. How do you explain these things?
Well, those who you saw on TV were told to say that. And by UÇK, by dead people, by those killers, rapers, and kidnappers, who are not terrorizing only Serbs and other non-Albanian population in Kosovo. They are terrorizing Albanians as well. I must tell you, it is a tragic situation with Albanians in Kosovo. They are manipulated and they are terrorized by those killers and kidnappers, those rapers, those narco dealers. I will tell you a simple fact. When you look to the number of peaceful citizens killed by UÇK in Kosovo, the number of Albanians who were killed by that so-called Kosovo Liberation Army belongers is twice bigger than number of Serbs. They were killing Albanians to discipline them, to send a message to them that they all have to support them, that they all have to pay to them fees they ordered, and that all have to be recruited or to pay instead if they are called under their so-called flag. So simple, peaceful Albanian, average Albanian can stay if he is told to stay that, otherwise he would be killed. He will stay whatever they want for them to stay. But that was not the truth. We saw a lot of their explanations on TV, just leaving country on territory of Republic of Macedonia, saying a lot of them were asked, why you are getting here? Everybody was explaining, bombs are falling down, how to stay there. That was explanation. But about CNN, you know, I saw my own eyes at the beginning of this war on CNN, poor Albanian refugees walking through the snow and suffering a lot. And you know, in Kosovo there was spring, no snow. And that was explanation for informations from CNN. We are we are looking to CNN. Practically everybody can see CNN all the time. CNN, Sky, BBC, everything is seen here. So nothing special. They are paid to lie. That is in nowadays media. I believe is even most dangerous arm than those bombs or rockets. That is most dangerous arm. And they started with that media war or that propaganda war long before they started military war. But we said publicly we have organized return of those refugees, but we cannot count with the ending of bombing, and people is afraid. One pretty big number who was getting back was bombed by NATO aircrafts. 75 citizens, all Albanians, were killed. And several dozens were wounded badly. So how to restore their confidence into safety if they are exposed to be bombed that way? Nobody could make the mistake in a sunny day and to confuse between ordinary tractors and peasants with tanks or military units. That was out of question. And I believe that was done by purpose, to send message to them that it is not their business to come back. NATO is creating refugees. That is their tactic, to create as much refugees as possible, to empty Kosovo if possible, to have a lot of refugees outside, and then to say that is the alibi for NATO to get here to help, to deliver humanitarian help, to help those refugees to get back. They can get back immediately. Only obstacle to them is NATO bombing. Only obstacle to political process, which is going on despite that bombing, is bombing.
Let's talk about the political process. Obviously, there are a lot of people on both sides of this issue, even people in America that are concerned about continuing a maximum position of NATO and trying to solve this thing solely by military means, because they think the cost in terms of economic costs and in terms of the human cost, both to your country and to our country, may be much higher than either one of our peoples want to pay. And so I think both peoples would like to see some kind of political settlement to this situation. And if we hold to the maximum positions that each side has right now, there may not be any progress. It will delay progress. So what do you see as a possibility for some negotiated political settlement of this problem in the near term?
Well, I believe that when aggression stops, when bombing stops, then it will be very easy to continue political process. But taking into account experience from Rambouillet in Paris, it is so clear that negotiations have to be direct between those who will live in Kosovo, between representatives of national communities who live in Kosovo, not between government of Yugoslavia or government of Serbia and, let us say, representatives of international community. We said very clearly, we will welcome a civilian United Nations mission to witness what happened there and to witness the process of political settlement as well. And we always were open. Look to the facts. Before this war, we accepted, we received a verification mission of OSCE, biggest verification mission in history of OSCE, 2,000 of them, plus UNHCR personnel, plus International Red Cross, plus 1,000 journalists from all around the world, plus Kosovo diplomatic observation mission composed of all diplomatic mission in the country. And who could tell us we were not open to international community in so small territory like Kosovo, with so huge verification mission, OSCE and UNHCR, International Red Cross, all journalists, diplomats, and every road open to everybody. But that was not the goal. The goal was how to create instability and how to start bombing. In Rambouillet, as I said to you, we are not talking to Albanians. We are talking to Americans who would like to take our territory for themselves and for NATO. And Albanians were just excuse for that. They were keeping them in a side room to be their alibi for doing those crimes which your government committed against our country and our people. And victims are not selectively chosen. Everybody is a victim. Predominantly children, women, old people, civilians. Civilians, civilians, and civilians. That's that.
Are you willing, and as part of an agreement, to reinstitute autonomy for Kosovo, similar to the autonomy that they had in 1989, up until 1989?
Of course, we will not change our position because of one simple fact. We had never any intention to cut any right to Albanians. They are our citizens. We don't have any idea to make damage to them.
But it is clear they are living in this country. They cannot make part of territory of this country and turn it into independent state. If that formula, which was tried to be deployed here, get into practice in the world, I don't see any state in the world who could survive. Look to Europe. Mm-hmm. Look to Spain, look to France, look to Belgium, look to Italy. Look to Africa. In Africa, there is no one single country who could survive if you allow that kind of separation movements to take, let us say, a kind of legal support. So, if that becomes practice, no one country will be safe. So we are not confronting that big power only in a position that we are defending ourselves. I think we are defending right to be free and to be independent and right to live in peace. That is what we are doing.
Are you willing also, as part of some kind of negotiated settlement, to accept some kind of international presence that will verify for the world community that the things that were agreed to in terms of the autonomy for the Albanians and the rights of all citizens of Kosovo are being equitably implemented?
Of course. We are ready to accept a UN civilian mission. Of course, without representatives of the countries who participated aggression against our country. We said that clearly. We are ready for that. We have nothing to hide.
And you're willing also to allow the international aid and charity missions to come back and do their jobs?
Absolutely. They are even now allowed to come back. But they are afraid. We never send them out. They were afraid from bombing. That is one of the explanations. Why they didn't stay in Kosovo, let us say, International Red Cross. They stayed everywhere in conflicts. But how to be safe from bombing? They fled Kosovo as civilians as well. They were not sent away. They simply went away to save their lives, who can be protected by bombing.
And you're saying that even now, while the bombing is going on, if the international humanitarian Red Cross or other agencies want to come back to Kosovo, even now they would be allowed to come back?
Even now, International Red Cross and UNHCR can get back. I cannot tell you for every single humanitarian organization, because of some so-called humanitarian organization were organized to support terrorism or to support separation movement, being under coverage of that so-called humanitarian task. Our police arrested a couple of Australian care belongers who were organized spying network in Yugoslavia. They admitted that in front of camera. They said they are very sorry. They said that that was big damage to our country. They were spying for NATO to explain where are positions they have to bomb, what was the result of their bombing, and so on. They explained even that they have abused domestic personnel for that. So we believe that International Red Cross and UNHCR can cover all those needs if they want to help to refugees. And that is something which was never under any question. They can come whenever they want.
One more thing that the American people are very concerned about, President Milosevic, is the fact that three Americans are being held as prisoners of war here. Can you assure the American people that they are in good health, all three, and that all three of them are being cared for in a humane way?
Well, in the situation in which we are, I think the question must be, what with those civilians who are the victims of your soldiers and your pilots? And I hope that you will start thinking that way. But to answer your question, we are very old people in Europe. Very old, with a long tradition, and we are respecting prisoners of war. Nothing will happen to your soldiers. They are treated well, they are healthy, and in everything what exists, Geneva Convention is respected. So we are civilized people. We are not to make any damage to your guys who are in prison.
It's important. One of the big criticisms that President Clinton continues to say almost every time he speaks on this issue is the refusal of your government to allow the Red Cross to come and see these prisoners as the Geneva Conventions provide for. What's your reason for not allowing the Red Cross to see
them? I think that Red Cross can visit them. I don't know that they were not allowed. I don't know where is Red Cross who asked for that. If there is a Red Cross mission that is under Geneva Convention, they can see them. That is not a question at all. I'm not an expert for Geneva Convention, but as I know, they can receive mail from their families. They must have medical care and all
but
conditions.
Your position is you would allow the Red Cross to see these prisoners?
Red Cross is always authorized to visit prisoners of war. Of course, not every day. But from time to time, as it was in the rules of army, but those rules are in compliance with the Geneva Convention. That is not the question. I don't see that problem that way.
One last question. We hear rumors in Belgrade from various people that many more aircraft have been shot down than the American press or the American administration admits to. that maybe as many as 80 airplanes have been downed, that there might be other pilots of NATO countries and the United States that have been made prisoners because of this. We've also heard rumors that your forces in Kosovo have already engaged in firefights with the special forces from the United States and special air services from the UK and have killed maybe 20, 24 of these kind of special soldiers that have come into Kosovo. Is this just a rumor or are these facts?
You know, that is not black and white. I cannot tell you that it's just a rumor or that it's just a fact. That is mixed. Some are facts, some are rumors. And it is so logical that NATO will not admit that. They have tried even to avoid to acknowledge killing of those refugees, but when they saw that was unavoidable, they said yes, that happened. So it is so logical. For now, for the time being, we had no foreign troops in our territory, even those specialists you have mentioned. We had several tries of Albanian soldiers of Albanian army mixed with those bandits from Kosovo in the units composed of, let us say, 1,000 or 1,000 and a half to get through the frontier and to penetrate into territory of Kosovo, and they were stopped by our army. They had very big losses. They are not the army, I must tell you. And whoever is combining with recruiting those criminals into a kind of military units doesn't know a lot about them. They would escape on a first shot, always. And they show that. Whenever they have tried to get in through the borders, they were running away, back. So that happened several times. If there were some instructors with them, foreign origin, that was not seen so far. But they are instructing them in Tropoia, in Cooks, in some other places. They are, of course, violating UN Security Council resolution prohibiting delivery of arms. So that is something which is so logical in a situation when practically United Nations are abolished by your country. United Nations Charter prohibits aggression, prohibits even any military intervention without decision of Security Council. In this case, you abolished United Nations. Practically, your bombing destroyed first United Nations, destroyed the truth. And of course, what is the most sad thing for us, killing our civilians and ruining our factories, bridges, housing area, residential area, and all those things. And you know, I will add something. What was the message, printed message in many rallies all around Yugoslavia, and I saw many of that in other countries. For example, in Thessalonica, there were 1 million people in demonstration, 1 million in Athens, about that figure, and so on. In Hamburg, in Düsseldorf, in Vienna, in many places around. And one printed message was very illustrative. Stop bombing, stop lying. Those two things are done together. And that is explanation of those two wars you're running against one small, sovereign, independent country 5,000 miles away from your coast. For what? Could you explain to me for what and what is American national interest? And you are trying to tell us that your national interest is stronger in our ancient territory than Serbian national interest in Serbian ancient territory. And you are doing so. For what? Where is the reason for that? When our soldiers are dying, they know why they are dying. They are dying for their homeland, for their fatherland. And for what will die your soldiers? 5,000 miles from home, killing children until they sleep, killing women and girls and peaceful citizens, and ruining what we were building through the decades after Second World War. And to absurd be the bigger we were allies in those wars. And you decided to support that separation process, that separation movement, which is in its character Nazi movement. I will tell you why. Quite clearly, their publicly declared aim is ethnically pure Kosovo. That is Nazi character. We in Yugoslavia, we know very well, having 26 national communities, that only basis for successful life of this country is respect to the principle of national equality. No other way. And that is the main principle in this country, composed of 26 national communities. And of course, ethnically pure Kosovo, that separation movement explains as a Nazi character. And in a historical sense, they are followers, in a historical term, the Mussolini created a Greater Albania in Second World War, fascist creation, which took at that time part of Kosovo, part of Macedonia, and part of Greece. And that was so-called Greater Albania created by Mussolini. So their Nazist and fascist character is very clear. But I want to tell you again, we are making a big difference between that separation movement and Albanian people living in our country. And we want to help people. And of course, to eliminate separation movement, as any country in the world. I think that there is at least now 100 countries in the world which have problems with some kind of separation movement. But only this country is bombed by strongest and most powerful war machinery ever existed in the world. And who will gain a glory with all those powerful and high technology ruining one small independent country member of UN? And what will the world look like after that practice? World has to be free. Every country, every people has a right to live in freedom, not to be occupied or terrorized by superpowers who will tell them how to live, what to do, what to think, and how to behave. So we cannot divide peace from freedom. If people want to live in peace, must be free. And here, on a territory about which empires were fighting through the centuries, through all our history, there is no one generation who was not fighting for freedom. And we were always conquered by empires, by very big empires, Ottoman empires, or Austro-Hungarian empires, or Hitler, big war machinery. But every time we liberated our country, And that is what we are doing now. And I believe in future. I believe in peace, in equality, in freedom, not only of this country, of all countries, without domination of powers. They are dominant enough being superpowers. They don't need other additional domination to the rest of the world. So I believe that we used all our time, at least 1 hour, I would say.
President Milosevic, I would like to thank you on behalf of the American people for sharing your views with us today, and let's hope that we can end this problem peacefully and very soon. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
If you'd like more information on this interview or you'd like to view it again, check our website. The address is cspan.org. And once there, you'll find audio and video files, including access to the interview again. The address is cspan.org.